Well, if you have your Bible, we'd love to have you focus on Christ with us for a few minutes from John chapter number 3. If not, we're going to have the verses on the screen, so you can just kind of follow along that way. But how many of you guys expect to get at least one gift tomorrow? Raise your hand. How many of you think gifts are fun? Raise your hand. Yeah. There's no doubt about that, right? The suspense, the excitement, the anticipation. I wonder how many of you are the type growing up, you always knew exactly what gifts you were going to get because you spied around and you looked, huh? Yeah. I love the look on people's face of the person giving the gift. You know what I mean? They're like, you know, they're waiting for you to open it and they're so excited for you to open their gift. But have you guys ever opened a gift? And have you ever found it to be awkward? You open a gift and you're like, gee, thanks. What is it? Right? Or, wow, what I've always wanted, a pineapple skinner. Wow. You know, and then again, some gifts are extraordinary, right? It just makes the kid jump up and down or makes the person cry because their heart is touched, or maybe it causes them to lose their breath, you know, because they're just so overwhelmed. They're like, bring in the smelling salts. They fainted, you know. And gifts are fun. But what is the gift of all gifts in history? We just saw it on the screen, right? It still touches the littlest heart, doesn't it? It goes back to that first century many years ago to Bethlehem. And there in the city of Bethlehem was a baby lying in a manger. And that's what Christmas celebrates. Christmas celebrates a baby given to this world. By the way, I'm curious, just wanted to ask this. Do we have any Christmas babies in here? Do we have anyone that was born on Christmas Day? Tomorrow's your birthday. Anyone like that? Well, you are in the nosebleed section. Can't even tell who that is up there. But all right, your birthday's tomorrow. Happy birthday. Let's give him a hand. All right, that's great. That is so awesome, man, being born on Christmas. And I know you're probably like, no, that is not awesome at all. We have one born on the 28th and one born on the 15th of December. And so I know that a lot of you that are born right around Christmas time probably don't think it's all that awesome, you know, to have that. But you know, this baby that we celebrate was Jesus, the Son of God. He's the gift of all gifts that was given to this world. And I think it resonates with people because of that. It's a gift. And the reason that we give gifts this time of year is to celebrate the amazing gift of all gifts, Jesus Christ. You know, without Jesus Christ, there would be no Christmas. And therefore, there'd be no celebrating, exchanging of gifts. So we celebrate Jesus tonight. Are y'all with me? We celebrate Jesus. Amen? Right? We celebrate Jesus. Why is Jesus the gift of all gifts? Why is he the gift of all gifts? Well, I think that one of the greatest, most popular verses in the Bible has the answer to why Jesus is the gift of all gifts. And I'm going to bring it up on the screen. And I'd like for you to say it with me, if you would. All right, let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why is that verse so popular? You know, I thought about that. You know, 1 John 3:16 is a great verse too, by the way. It's written by the same guy, John. It's later on in the Bible. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know the love of God, that he laid down his life for us. Well, that's a great verse too. But this verse is really popular, I think, because it's so succinct, it's unambiguous, it's so full of warmth and kindness, full of hope. It's so true, it's so inclusive. And so what do we learn about Jesus being the gift of all gifts? I think the first thing we learn from this, is that Jesus was truly a gift from heaven. Now we use that expression a lot. We say, boy, that was a gift from heaven. Or we'll say something like, boy, she is a gift from heaven. My wife says that about me all the time, you know. She says, Dan, you are a gift from... Well, I was born on a holiday too, and it was not Christmas, it was Halloween, okay? So she doesn't say that, but... But we, well, I really was, by the way. But we use that term figuratively. Well, that's a gift from heaven. But did you know Jesus literally was a gift from heaven? Notice who the giver is, right? It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. The giver is God. And he gave the gift of all gifts, his son, Jesus Christ. Why? Who did he give? Who did the Father give Jesus to? I love the way it says it, right? It says, for God so loved the what? World, humanity, us. I mean, here's the gift of all gifts, and God gave it to us. Man, that's just straight up amazing. What an incredible honor. In fact, 2 Corinthians 9:15, he just kind of declares in that verse, he says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And that word unspeakable means indescribable. Have you ever received a gift so unique and so amazing that you struggled to describe it to somebody else later on? You know, you just really couldn't put it into words. And that's Jesus. That's Jesus. If you know him, man, if you've received the gift of Jesus, it's just really hard to describe what he means to you. I know it is for me. It's hard to put it into words exactly what Jesus means to us. It's indescribable, as that verse says. It's unspeakable. When God decided that he would give us a gift, he gave his best. And he gave what we needed the most. He didn't give an angel or a celestial being. He didn't give a saint from the past. He sent from heaven, Jesus Christ. The gift of all gifts was given. I love this passage right here. I'm going to bring it up on the screen because I love the phrase here. It says, but the free gift, and the context here is Jesus. It says, the free gift is not like the trespass. For if through the trespass of one man many died, how much more has the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many? He says, the gift is not like the result that came through the one who sinned. For the judgment from one sin led to condemnation, but the free gift, which came after many trespasses, leads to justification. And I love that, you know, because the context there is Jesus. Jesus Christ is that free gift that Romans 5 is talking about. He is the gift of all gifts because he was given to us by God, and he truly was a gift from heaven. Amen, church? He was a gift from heaven. But the second thing is, that I want to point out from John 3:16 is that Jesus was a gift that was given out of pure love. You know, we hear the word love thrown around a lot today. All right, I understand that. We hear love, you know, we have books about love and, you know, movies about love. And it's possible, I think you would agree with me, that it's possible to use a word and really not understand the true meaning of the word. First of all, what I mean by that is love, to be love, has to be rooted in truth. It can't be rooted in lies and deception and falsehood. That's not love. Love at its core is doing the right thing with the right heart. And so if I love my wife, I'm going to do the right thing by her, and I'm going to do it with the right heart. Now, we can do the wrong thing with a right heart. So we can make a wrong decision, but we did it, you know, from a right heart. Our heart was in the right place, just the wrong thing to do. You know, a guy buys his wife a vacuum cleaner for Christmas. That's probably the wrong thing to do, right? I hope none of you guys did that. But, you know, buy your wife a vacuum cleaner. That's this wrong thing, but I'm sure you got a right heart, okay? And then it's possible to do the right thing with a wrong heart. So, like, for example, have you ever told your kids, go clean your room? And it's the right thing to do because they need to obey their parents and they need to go clean their room. That's the right thing to do. And they go clean their room, but they don't do it with a right heart. So it's possible to do the right thing with a wrong heart, right? I mean, like, guys, your wife is like, honey, this is Christmas and we need to focus on family, so turn football off. I'm preaching to myself right now. The Green Bay Packers are on tomorrow. They would have to play on Christmas, right? But yeah, your wife's like, turn the football off. And so you're like, all right. And you grab the remote and it's off. You happy? Did the right thing with a wrong heart. Okay, so we get it. So true love does the right thing with a right heart. And on Christmas, many gifts will be given all over town tomorrow. And it would be naive for us to assume that they're going to all be given with the purest of motives and out of untainted love. I mean, let's get real, right? Some people are going to give a gift because they feel obligated to give a gift. Well, we better take a gift to that party. It's expected. Some people are going to give a gift in order to impress somebody else. You know, honey, we got to get my boss a good gift. I'm up for that promotion this year. Some people are going to give a gift because they don't want to be embarrassed, you know? It's like, well, we better take a gift with us because they might have one for us. This is all stuff you've heard, right? Or said. And then probably the worst motive is, you know, somebody gives a gift in hopes of getting something better back from the other person. So what am I saying? We don't always give with 100% pure motives, do we? Yet God the Father gave Jesus to this world out of one motive. For God so loved the world. He wanted us to be able to legitimately be with him for eternity future. And then Jesus, in turn, gave his life out of pure love for the Father and for lost humanity. I want you to understand this, that God loved, for God so loved the what? The world. You know what that tells me? That tells me that he did not just love an exclusive group of people. He didn't just love a certain race or a certain nationality. He didn't just love the wealthy, the powerful, the influential, or the religious. God throughout history has used different nations or people groups for specific reasons, but God loves the entire world, and there's not a greater evidence of that than Jesus. You know, read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's not an ounce of racism or partiality or bias in John 3:16, not a speck. Jesus Christ was God's gift of love to the world, and Christ gave his life on the cross as a full payment for our sins, and he did this for every person. Again, no partiality. There's no bias. In fact, look at this on the screen. Hebrews 2:9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, to suffer death, crowned with glory and honor, so that he, by the grace of God, should experience death for who? Everyone. The next verse here, 1 Timothy 2:6 says that Jesus Christ gave himself as a ransom for who? For all. The next verse, 1 John 2:2 says that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice, John said, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the what? The whole world. Now, can a gift be rejected? Sure, of course. If something's forced on you, it isn't a gift. Listen, I used to go out and buy broccoli and give it to my kids and force it on them. And you know they didn't look at that as a gift. But when I took them out for ice cream and asked them if they wanted ice cream, they gladly received the gift of the ice cream. You see, a gift, to be a gift, has to be offered in love. And then it has to be received. So are you, let me ask you something tonight. Are you part of the world, yes or no? Yes. Good. Hopefully there's no aliens in here, amen? It's possible, but hopefully there's not. Then God is offering you the gift of Jesus. It's that simple. You say, well, but what about this and what about that? There's no what about. God is offering the gift of love and the gift of Jesus to you. And then the third thing is this, last thing is this. What we learn from John 3:16 about Jesus being the gift of all gifts is, number three, Jesus is a gift that brings everlasting life. You know, most of the gifts that we give are not life-changing. They're not life-altering. Most of the gifts that we give and that we receive, they either wear out, rust out, or get thrown out. Or they get returned the day after Christmas. or they get taken to the thrift store, right? But not so with this gift that God gave to us. The results of this gift are life-changing. You remember what we read? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, and then what does it say? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a totally incredible result from this gift being given. That's so cool. How long is everlasting life? Well, Webster defines everlasting as lasting or enduring through all time. Dictionary.com says lasting forever, eternal, is what everlasting means, lasting forever. Collins Dictionary Online says something that is everlasting never comes to an end. So basically, everlasting means forever. How many of you would like to live forever and never die, huh? Well, you can. John 11, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Normally, if somebody would make a promise like that to you, you would be skeptical. But this man rose from the dead. He's got some credentials to back up what he said. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but the story doesn't end there. As you read the life story of Jesus, and it's an amazing story, if you haven't read it lately or ever, you should go and just read it. Just read the story of Jesus. Start in Matthew, and there's four different accounts from four different human perspectives, four different human authors with different personalities, with different perspectives, and they're giving their eyewitness account of what they saw, and you can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there's four different accounts of the amazing story of Jesus Christ, the wisest person that ever lived. And you discover that Jesus, as you read all four of those, there is some definitely, there's just a commonality and a thread throughout all four. One of those threads is that Jesus was born to die. Jesus became aware of that at a very young age, that that was his purpose, that he was born to die. In John 10, he said, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He said, therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. And then he goes on to say, no one takes it from me. Nobody takes my life from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I receive this command from my Father. When Jesus was 33 years old, he gave himself, according to this passage, to die on the cross. Why did he do that? Let me tell you why. Christ was purchasing for us. Now, we all understand what that means, to purchase something, right? He was purchasing for us a great gift. And that's the gift of forgiveness. He paid for the sins of all humanity because sin creates a barrier between us and God. And Christ stood in the gap that existed there because of our sin. And there on the cross, Jesus Christ made a full and a complete payment for our sins so that he could give us the gift of eternal life. It's a beautiful love story. In fact, if you look at the screen up here, it says, while we were yet weak, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. It says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God gave the Son, and the Son gave his life. And this was all part of salvation's plan. And he died so that we could receive the forgiveness, the gift of the forgiveness of sins. And then he rose from the dead so that we could receive the gift of everlasting life. But in order for a gift to become yours, what must you do? Simply receive it. You know, these kids all got a gift tonight. I'm so proud. I haven't seen one light up yet. I figured they'd be going everywhere, but the kids are good. Or the parents are good, one or the other, right? But you know, the kids didn't have to take that gift. It was their choice. They could walk off and not take the gift. Tomorrow, we'll give gifts at our house, just like you, and none of us can make each other take the gift that we have purchased for each other. In order for a gift to become yours, you simply receive it. And God will not force this gift upon you. He allows you to decide. Remember the verse I read earlier from Romans 5 about the free gift of Jesus? Do you know what the next verse says? Let me bring it up. It says, for if by one man's trespass death reigned through him, then how much more will those who, now notice that next word, those who what? Receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Key word there is receive. The moment that you believe with your heart that Christ died for your sin personally and that he rose from the dead, the moment you trust him and him alone to save you, God gives you the gift of everlasting life. Romans 6:23 is a common verse, but it's a good one. And it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you thankful for the gift of God tonight, huh? We don't deserve the gift. The wages of sin is death. We don't deserve it. You know, tomorrow people will get gifts that don't deserve gifts. Do y'all agree with that, huh? Y'all remember the song, I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Mommy and daddy are mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas because I ain't been nothing but bad. Right. And there are kids that have been bad and they're still going to get a gift tomorrow. And in the same way, we deserve death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And he gives this gift through his son, Jesus Christ. Imagine somebody giving you a gift tomorrow, and imagine that you give a gift to somebody, and then imagine that they immediately do this. They pull out their billfold and they say, let me pay you for that. Let me pay you for that gift. You'd be like, dude, no, man, that's a gift. Yeah, that's an insult. You're not going to pay me for the gift I just gave you. A gift must be accepted, but it can't be bought or earned. Webster's Dictionary defines a gift as something voluntarily transferred by one person to another without compensation. Some people think they can compensate God. They think they're going to compensate God and earn eternal life in heaven. Sorry, it's not going to work out. God desires to give you the gift of eternal life. In fact, God has already paid the price for that gift on the cross of Calvary. He's already paid the price for it. Now the ball's in your court. It's paid for, and it's offered. The gift of eternal life is paid for, and it's offered. So you either receive the gift by believing on Jesus to be your Savior, or you reject the gift of eternal life and reject Jesus Christ. And I just want you to know, God will honor whatever choice you make, because God gives you that volition to make a choice. He's not going to force you to do something that you don't want to do. So you can reject the gift of Jesus. The Bible says that we can reject that gift. And John 3:16 said, the result is we perish. Or we receive the gift of Jesus. And what does the end of that verse say? We receive what? Everlasting life. And again, God will honor whatever choice you make. But the offer's there. It's on the table. The offer's on the table. You know, it's all up to you if you will receive the gift. Let's read that verse one more time together. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The key question is, what will you do with Jesus? It's not what are you going to do with religion. It's not what are you going to do with the church. It's what will you do with Jesus Christ? He's the gift of all gifts. He's the gift God offers. And God loves you. And God wants you in his family. And I don't care what you've done, where you've been. I don't care how you view yourself. I want you to know that God desires to have you in his family. And God offers to you the gift of eternal life. And I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that Christ didn't just die for some people's sins. He died for everyone's sins. And none of us are perfect, and we all sin. We all mess up, and we're all fallen, and we all have issues. But aren't you thankful for the grace of God? And that he gets it. He understands that. And that's why he came. That's why he showed up in Bethlehem. And that's why he went to the cross. And that's why he rose from the dead, is so that you could have the gift of everlasting life. It's a great love story. It's so amazing. And so if you don't know Jesus, I would encourage you right now, you can accept him and receive the gift. Would you pray with me right now? Let's just pray together.